Hello and welcome to another edition of Digital Flotsam. I'm P.W. Fenton. This episode is all about having a reputation as a cool dude and my attempt to ride that reputation all the way through high school. Like all such poorly thought out plans, it almost works. I call this episode, But I Was Cool.
No matter who or what has eaten you, play it cool. Boy, boy, crazy boy, stay loose, boy. Breeze it, buzz it, easy does it. Turn off the juice, boy. Go, man, go, but not like a yo-yo schoolboy. Just play it cool, boy, real cool.
Unlike a lot of teenagers, and more importantly, unlike a lot of teenagers who are constantly flirting with failing grades, I absolutely loved high school. At home, I was just another kid who didn't listen, never cleaned his room, avoided doing homework, brought home crappy report cards, and listened to his music too loud. But in high school, I was something altogether different. I was cool. Although I went to high school technically in New York City, I lived on Staten Island, the most rural of the five boroughs. Even people who lived here didn't think of it as part of the city. When announcing plans to go to Manhattan, for instance, most Staten Islanders would announce, "I'm going to the city tomorrow," as if they lived somewhere else. I guess it's because I grew up held in the multicultural arms of an eight-story building full of role models. I was somehow just a little hipper, just a little more urbane than my classmates. When I showed up for high school, it was clear that I had a certain style, a certain uniqueness, a certain sophistication, a certain coolness that set me apart from the 2,000 other kids and made me rather well-known. I cultivated my coolness. My hair was a little cooler, my clothes were a little hipper, I wore cool shades, I did cool things, I snuck into Broadway shows, I hung out in Greenwich Village, I memorized soliloquies, I read Shakespeare for fun, I appeared in every single school play, I played in the school orchestra, I could do a backward somersault, I could sing. Being cool served me very well. It allowed me to be well-liked by my classmates and my teachers alike, despite the fact that I never did any homework and barely passed my exams. I even had some remarkable good luck that served my coolness. We went through a wrestling phase in gym class. The gym teacher would pair people up and have us wrestle each other on the mats with our classmates looking on. There was this gargantuan brute named Billy Riley, a senior, who outclassed us all. The teacher was fond of picking out three or four kids who together would try and pin Billy Riley at the same time. Billy would just stand with his legs spread apart about shoulder width, looking like Hercules, as the three or four sacrificial lambs would climb all over him, unable to even make him move his feet. At some point, Billy would get bored or annoyed, and he would begin peeling guys off his body and throwing them to the ground one by one, saving some painful flourish for the last one to go. Billy was an animal. One day, the gym teacher seemed to take offense at my boisterous laughter as I watched my classmates being pulverized by the mighty Billy Riley, so he picked me to be one of Billy's next challengers. I stood there nervously waiting for the rest of the team to be selected when the gym teacher said, "You think this is so funny, Mr. Fenton?" Get started. You're on your own. Billy just smiled and took his Hercules pose. I knew it would be over quickly. The trick was going to be not getting hurt too bad in the process. I walked around behind the behemoth, thinking that if I attacked him from behind, there wouldn't be too much he could do to me. And once he moved, I would fall off and feign injury, and it would be all over. I leapt up onto his back, wrapped my skinny arms around his head in a sort of headlock, and hung on for dear life, trying to plan how I would land. As I squeezed with all my might, my bony forearm was resting across the bridge of Billy's nose. And unsuspected by me, this was causing him intense pain. In about 5 seconds, Billy's legs buckled and gave out, and he collapsed into a sitting position and began slamming his hand on the mat, the signal for giving up. The teacher blew his whistle. The gym erupted in cheers and applause, and a smiling Billy Riley turned and shook my hand. By last period, 2,000 students knew that not only had Fenton beaten Billy Riley, the toughest guy in the school, in a fair fight, but Billy Riley now considered Fenton to be his personal friend, a status belonging to no one else in the school. A huge, troublesome part of every teenage boy's life was suddenly completely nullified. For the rest of my high school career, no one would ever want to challenge me to meet after school. By my senior year, I had reached the pinnacle of coolness. I had passed enough classes that graduation even looked possible. I was even voted class individual for the yearbook. It was midterm exam week, which meant that you frequently had hours of downtime between exams where you did nothing but hang around the school or go out for a soda or something. I was standing outside the north entrance of the school during one of those downtimes when a student I barely knew stopped and said, "Hey, Fenton, if I were you, I'd stay inside the school today. Vinny Carlucci is looking for you. He says he's gonna kick your ass." The whole idea sounded absurd to me. I never heard of anyone in school named Vinny Carlucci. And nobody wanted to kick my ass. I was the guy who beat the now legendary Billy Riley. And besides, everybody liked me. It had to be a mistake, and I told him so. And to prove it, I stayed right there on the sidewalk until my next exam. And of course I was right. Who would be after me? I finished my exam and had an hour's wait before my next exam. So I went outside the east entrance of the school near the location of my next exam just to hang out with the other kids wandering around the school grounds. Not seeing any of my closer friends, I just leaned against the wrought iron fence in front of the school in my best James Dean Rebel Without a Cause pose and my dark Ray-Ban sunglasses. The warning I had received a few hours earlier was completely forgotten when a 57 Chevy screeched to a sliding stop in front of the school. Nice car, I thought, as all four doors opened up and four guys scrambled out hurriedly. They ran right up to me. A guy with a crew cut reached out, snatched the sunglasses off my face, and tossed them aside. What the? Before I could get the third word out of my mouth, Vinny Carlucci and three of his buddies, all four of them I later learned from a different high school, began punching me all over. There was barely enough room on my skinny little frame for all of them to be punching at the same time, but they managed. The punches were coming so hard and so fast, I never even had a chance to raise my arms from my sides. I couldn't even fall down. Their bludgeoning was keeping me pinned against the fence. Then, as suddenly as it started, as if by some signal, they all turned around and ran back to the 57 Chevy, which peeled out and disappeared down the street. A sizable crowd was now staring at me in stunned silence. A few girls, had pained expressions and tears in their eyes. I had no idea how I should handle this. This was so uncool. I had to somehow make an exit. I wasn't even sure I could move. I took a step forward, my back now off the fence. I was trying hard not to tremble, trying hard to give the impression that I was okay, that I was in much better shape than their terrified expression seemed to imply. A semi-familiar face stepped towards me. I almost flinched, but his extended hand held my undamaged sunglasses. I took the sunglasses and, through swollen lips, slurred,
"Thank you."
At least I could cover some of the evidence with my sunglasses. As I slid them onto my face, it was almost as if their added weight was now too much to bear, and I collapsed in a heap right where I was standing. Not even a cool pair of Ray-Bans got me out of this one. Being cool, being well-liked, and having a legendary reputation were apparently no match for simple reality. Weeks later, when a girl I hardly knew at all stopped me and apologized for all the trouble she had caused, I found out the rest of the story. Apparently, this young lady, whose name I didn't even know, asked me to sign her yearbook. And so I did what I usually did when I really didn't know somebody. I tried to be funny. I wrote, "I'll never forget the wonderful night at the motel." We both laughed. It was funny. Vinnie Carlucci, her boyfriend from a different school, didn't agree. And apparently, he had never heard of Billy Riley.
Live by this golden rule: whatever happens, don't blow your cool. You gotta have nerves of steel and never show folks how you honestly feel. I've lived my whole life this way. For example, take yesterday. I breezed home happy, bringing her my pay. Her note read, "So long, sappy, I have run away." I threw myself down across our empty bed, and this is what I said. For the road, it at an all-night bar. Wound up so loaded, I tore up my car. The judge threw the book at me, and when I read his sentence, there I said, I. I said, "She's the only one I have to thank." And I found her and pulled my gun and fired point blank. The shot whistled right straight past that woman's head and killed my hound dog dead. Say, be cool, stay cool, stay cool, keep cool, cool.
Well, there you have it. Another edition of Digital Flotsam. You heard several different versions of the late Leonard Bernstein's Cool, from his score to West Side Story. And you heard the classic Take Five by Dave Brubeck. And finally you heard But I Was Cool by the late Oscar Brown Jr. As always, there are more detailed credits, including links to where you can buy these recordings, in the show notes, located at my website, digitalflotsam.org. If you have any comments, please send them to me at pwfenton@digitalflotsam.org. And don't forget to vote at podcastalley.com.
And P-Dub holded the microphone.